Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. In our confusing, wacky world that we are experiencing at this time, maybe it's always been wacky. I guess it all depends on your perspective. But one of the biggest things that is in the minds of millions of people is the economy. My goodness. We seem to be going backwards in the minds of so many. Well, today we're going to be talking with a man who knows some laws, especially the law of manifestation. His name is David Spangler. He is in the Seattle area of the state of Washington. And David, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure being here.
You're a man that's had a very interesting journey in life. You were a person that was very strongly associated with the Finhorn Foundation community in Scotland, and you founded its educational program. You're also the co-founder of the Lorien Association, which is a nonprofit spiritual educational foundation. You've written other books. Tell us how you became associated with the Finhorn Foundation.
You know, I learned of it through friends back in 1967, 68, people who had been over there. And at the time, I was teaching a variety of classes on spirituality and human development and personal growth in the San Francisco area. And they would come back, having traveled to Scotland, and they would say, oh, there's this really interesting place over there, and someday you must go and see it. And so in 1970, I happened to be in England, and I had a few days that were free, and I called up to Finhorn and talked with Peter Caddy, one of the original founders and the director of the center, and he said, oh, you must come right up. So I went up by train, and it was gorgeous, Donna. I mean, it was nothing at all like what I'd expected, even though I'd heard many accounts about it. The gardens were beautiful. The whole place just was vibrant. And I thought, this is so much more than I had anticipated. And on about the third day I was there, Peter and his wife, Eileen, invited me for tea. And I should just say that all of Finhorn's growth and development basically came out of Eileen's vision. She would meditate every night. She would hear a voice that would give guidance for the community, or she would have visions. And out of that guidance and out of those visions, Finhorn developed. And so I'm having tea with them, and Peter said, well, David, we need to let you know that 3 years ago, Eileen had a vision that you would be coming. And we had no idea who you were or where you were, only that David Spangler was coming and would be part of the community, and that when you came, I was to make you a co-director. And of course, that kind of knocked my socks off. I thought,
no kidding, my goodness,
oh my gosh. But it was 1970. I was 25 at the time, it just so happened I was in a time in my life when I was able to leave the States. I'd been living in California, as I said, and I had nothing holding me there. So when Peter said, would you like to be my co-director, I said, well, you bet. And so I was, and I lived there for 3 years.
Finhorn was a very unique experience. And when you start off with your book, The Laws of Manifestation, which, by the way, you wrote this book in 1973, didn't you?
Yeah, it's an old, well, it's really, what it is a more or less edited collection of lectures that I gave in the community at a particular time when manifestation was an issue. And then for this book, I have written, last year I wrote about 50 pages of all new mm-hmm. material, which is at the beginning. So it's kind of a blend of a very, very old book and a new one.
Well, wisdom is wisdom. And what I found in your book were a number of fascinating points. We have heard repetitively in recent years about the law of attraction. Again, this is nothing new. Willpower. Yet, a lot of people feel like they're at a crossroads with this. They'll say, well, I earnestly desire something, I really meditate on it, and I do what I can, and nothing's happening. You talk about this woman at Finhorn that had a vision that they didn't know when it was going to come about. It was 3 years later when you walked through the door.
That's right. In a way, they manifested me.
Right. So let's get down to some interesting perspectives. What's the difference between the law of manifestation and the law of will and the law of attraction? Or is there any?
Well, first thing I would say is the use, Peter always used the term the law of laws of manifestation, and so when I gave my talks at Finhorn, I adopted what you might call the community terminology. But it's, you know, it's better. It isn't really a law in the same sense we might talk about the law of gravity or the laws of thermodynamics, because you know, if I leap off my bed or my rooftop, I'm going to fall, and I'm pretty certain that that's going to happen. I'm not going to start drifting up. And so we can say, yeah, the law of gravity, that's a genuine natural law. But the energy of attraction and manifestation is much more subject to, what should I call it, local conditions and individual influences, and it's more like an art than a law.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it's like a musical talent. It builds with practice. People have varying degrees of facility with it, but everybody can use it. But I'll give you an example of what I mean. If you read many of the books on the laws of attraction and laws of positive thinking, they almost all say, well, you know, you have to think positively about what it is that you want to attract. And what you don't want to do is to hold negative thoughts, because then you'll attract whatever your negative thoughts are. As a friend of mine once said, worrying is praying for what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my best friends was an absolutely fantastic manifester. And yet, he was also one of the most worrisome, pessimistic people that I have known. And he was like Eeyore in the Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of went around with this sort of cloud, and it said, you know, if the worst things can happen, they were going to happen, but they never did. And he was constantly manifesting good things. So in that sense, he was an absolute living contradiction of what most people think of as the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it was that he was, without question, one of the most loving people I'd met. He was giving. He was compassionate. He was very negative about himself and his own circumstances. But he was very positive about other people and was constantly putting himself in a situation to meet others' needs if he could. And And that actually created the pattern that fed his manifestation. So in that sense, it wasn't positive thinking. He actually was quite a negative thinker, but it was positive beingness. His mm-hmm. whole nature was positive in relationship to other people. So, you know, things like that can come into play and can affect the outcomes of these intentionalities that we set into motion. It's not like it's, carved in concrete that something definite going to happen. It's more carved in flowing water, and if we know how to keep the water clear and flowing, chances are it will in fact bring us what we wanted through our intentions. I suppose I should say I've seen more examples of manifestation working than I have of it not working, but it does not work 100% of the time, in my experience.
Well, don't you think that's the way it is with most things in life?
Yep, I do.
It's not 100%. I know some people may disagree with me, but life is in flux. And someone said once, aren't you glad that all of your desires that you expressed at one moment or another didn't really come to pass because they really weren't what you wanted anyway?
Yep, that's exactly
right. And the results
right.
and consequences would have been entirely different.
That's exactly right.
So there's something that's going on here. Now, you have, and I'm just going to pop this in real quickly, you have on a website, lorien.org, a manifestation kit that people
yes,
can get. But before we get into that, when you were at Finhorn, one of the things that Peter Caddy was concerned about was so much had manifested. He and Eileen and Dorothy, they were a trinity of like minds, and when Finhorn began to expand, he discovered that there was, a disarray of thinking. And he wanted you to bring a harmonic into this thinking, and he described his way as being the old way and your way being the new way. What was it that you did differently? Because the truth is, where two or more are gathered, there's always more momentum when there is that harmonic. So what was it that you did differently, David?
The main difference between my approach and Peter's was that I didn't try to create an image as such and say, well, I'm going to manifest X, Y, or Z. Instead, what I would try to do is to have a sense, a felt sense in my body, in myself, of what the need was, or where I wanted to be, and who I would be in that state. And it was I thought of it as a more holistic approach, because I was I always felt the only thing I was ever manifesting was myself. I was always manifesting my life, you might say,
mm-hmm.
rather than a toaster or a car or something like that. And for Peter, it was, you know, you have to hold this very clear image of what you want. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't work. It does work, and there are many people for whom that works. It doesn't work all the time. And part of the challenge with Peter's approach was that, in a way, you're always manifesting from what you know rather than from what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
In a way, you're always manifesting from your past. So if Peter would form an image of what he thought the community needed, and I should say at this point that actually Peter, the images that Peter used, that they meditated on and used for their manifestation, were the ones that came through Eileen's guidance and her visions. So Peter felt he wasn't, just thinking things up out of his own personality.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say that somebody did, and they said, well, what I need is this car to help me get back and forth to work. it might be that what would really work for them is something else entirely, like a bicycle, or maybe actually finding a new place that closer to work. The thing that will most resonate in their lives might not be what they can visualize in the moment out of their experience. So my approach was to try to go past the image to what was the actual essence of what it is you're trying to manifest. So like with a car, it might be transportation, or it might be freedom. You know, it could be any number of things.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it? And what else might satisfy that need or that desire? And if it is satisfied, what does that feel like in my body? What do I feel like if I have successfully manifested not the image, but what lies behind it? Because then I free up the situation for life to bring me, so to speak, what might really suit my needs rather than what I think will suit my needs. Just exactly what you said earlier.
Well, let's take an example. You have this wonderful story in your book. I just thought it was so cute. It was a friend of yours who really wanted to sell her house, and there's a lot of people today that are going through this very same thing, so I think they'll appreciate this. And what she did, she held a very clear image of her house being sold, the time frame when she needed the sale to take place, and she had a prayer-like affirmation, but she could never get the affirmation straight. She'd always
exactly
mix it up, and I'm going to read it, quote it just from your book.
Okay.
And her affirmation was, "Jesus, please sell my house." But she got the words mixed up, and instead she'd end up saying sometimes, "Jesus, please buy my house." What happened? I just love this story.
She got a phone call from her husband, who was in L.A. where the house was, and she was up here in Seattle doing an assignment for her work. And she got a phone call from her husband saying the house had sold, and guess what? Guess who bought it? And she said, "Who bought it?" And he said, "Jesus bought it." And it was a Latino couple named Jesus something or other. And so, in fact, Jesus did buy her house.
Yeah, and that, I just think that's a hoot. I just love that.
It was very funny.
So when you're talking about the essence, now, there's a combination of things going on here. She was working with specifics. And I will tell you, through the years, I know that I have manifested some things when I was very specific, and I look back on it now, and I was young, and I really didn't know what the heck I was doing at the time, and I really ended up with some mucky messes, but I got what I asked for.
Yep.
And I didn't ask for my highest good along with that. I just said, this is what, because like you said, you we all have our paradigms. We have blinders on. We live in worlds, I don't care how brilliant someone is, we have no clue. We cannot be aware of all the variables. So I know when I got into trouble, and I think back on it, you know, I'm able to do that now, I thought, wow, wouldn't it have been nice if I could have said, especially, and I'll use a relationship, I was quite young. There was someone I was just really thought that this person had it all, and boy, I really worked on it. Well, I found out this person was like a -7,050 in character qualities, and it was just in just a short period of time. It was like 6 weeks of association. I went, holy Joseph, what did I get myself into here? And it's amazing we do this because we are in love with a concept or a false image. What you talked a moment ago about essence. How can someone, without being dogmatic, go and reach and relax? You call it the Gaian method or the Gaian method, whichever pronunciation
right.
is correct.
Uh-huh.
How can we relax with this and just release it to the highest good, whatever is going to serve our purposes best?
Well, of course, this I should say, ties to the card deck you spoke of. Because essentially what I did was go through this process and tried and sought to name the steps in this process, and then had an artist create visual aids for each of the steps, and out of that developed this card deck. And essentially, you know, it's like I start out with the image, whatever it is. What do I think it looks like? And then ask myself, what would it be connected to? What is it part of? For example, if I want to manifest a relationship, the person who I manifest doesn't just spring out of nothing. That person comes with his or her own friends and family and history, and and that's what I'm manifesting. I'm manifesting a whole pattern, not just a thing, but a whole pattern of connections. So then I can reflect on that pattern, and I can ask myself, what is at the heart of that pattern? What is it that I really want here? I had a young friend, the daughter of a friend of mine, who did exactly what you described. She worked out a list. She made a very detailed list of what she wanted in a boyfriend, and she would meditate on that list and used it as the basis for manifesting. And a young man showed up who had every quality on that list. And the relationship, you know, just hit off wonderfully until she discovered that he was dangerously schizophrenic. The one thing she, bipolar now would be the phrase, the one thing she didn't put on the list was that he's mentally stable.
So,
I mean, she got out of the relationship, but not without some unfortunate incidents. But you see, what she was saying was she was looking at this list of qualities, like you go shopping in the supermarket. Instead of saying, what is it that I'm really wanting here in a relationship, knowing that this relationship is going to develop over time, and so she might say, well, what I'm really looking for is steadfastness and love and loyalty and what makes my heart sing? What could I do to make someone else's heart sing? Who am I in a relationship where our hearts sing together, so to speak? And that begins to get past the list and past the forms and down to the real nub of what it is you're looking for. I mean, you might come up with things like saying, well, what I'm really looking for is just someone so I don't feel lonely. Uh-huh. Or I'm really looking for just a friend, or I'm really looking, I mean, it might be that what I'm looking for could be satisfied by a dog. But that's what I mean by essence. What is the deeper underlying quality or set of qualities that I feel this manifestation will bring into my life, or that will unfold for me? And yes, part of that is asking, how will this further, or how will this help me in my overall quest to be a whole person? You know, what we mean when we say it's for my highest good. Well, the highest good can mean any number of things in a specific sense. But generally what it means is that I am not impeded, nor do I impede anyone else in becoming more whole and connected in my life, more able to express my wholeness.
You have four thresholds that you mentioned in your book: energy, form, environment, and anchor point.
Right.
And I recall a gentleman telling me a story once when he was, his wife, he would love to go into car showrooms and said, oh, I want the Cadillac, I want this, I want that, I want the other. And she'd bring him down to earth real quick. She'd say, you may want that Cadillac, but you've got a VW budget. How are you, you know,
right.
How are you going to handle this?
Right.
And she said, until you've got that Cadillac budget, be happy with your VW.
Right.
And that is some, you know, a point that you bring out in the book. There's so many links. There are so many things. And it it doesn't mean you shouldn't dream big. It doesn't mean you can't desire big. But I like what you say about going for the deeper essence, because there are some things sometimes that one needs in life that has nothing to do with money. And I'm not against money at all. Don't misunderstand me. But I think that there are so many essences that we can have in our lives that are rich, that are fulfilling, that are very satisfying, very rewarding. And we need to be able to recognize those and honor them. And in our society today, it almost feels like we're in a compressed time warp that's moving us so fast, whether it's with technology or the fact we've got communication around the world, where before, you know, it might take years to be able to get information from a point on the globe. Now it literally takes a nanosecond. We're in this time frame. What would you say to my listeners today when they are dealing with this and they have this tremendous sense of urgency and they go, wow, look at all the bad stuff that's happening? What would you want them to know about the law of manifestation?
Well, the first thing is to say that any kind of energy work, and that's what this really is, it's extending our energy of thought and feeling and often of action and of spirit out into the world to help shape our personal environment in some way. Any kind of energy work is constricted. It is lessened in the presence of fear. If I'm afraid, I tighten up. And I not only tighten up physically, as the fight and flight mechanisms are getting into play, but I tighten up energetically, I tighten up emotionally and mentally, I tighten up in the sense of the energy that can flow from spirit. And the sad thing, really the difficult thing about our time right now, is that people are in need. The economic downturn has thrown everybody for a loop, and people are out of jobs, and there's a real desire to be able to manifest what one needs. At the same time, the very nature of the situation generates fear, both collectively, because we feed on each other's fears, and personally. And even, you know, I might say, well, my job's not threatened, but yet I still feel the fear from my neighbor or my coworker. Or, and so the first thing I want to do is, as counterintuitive as it may seem, is to find a place, find a way to enter into a peaceful state, a calm and not an unthreatened state. Because in that state, I'm better able to think more clearly and to think through what I might need to do on a physical level. I mean, the thing about manifestation is that it has magic-like properties, but it's not magic. It works. In that sense, it does have law-like characteristics. So it's not like I can say, well, if I just think that the money will come for the rent, that it will, there may be things that I need to do to help set that into motion. You know, the old phrase, God helps those who help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not quite as simplistic as that, but it is an issue of making available the pipelines. If I want something to flow to me, I need to open all the pipelines through which it might happen. But I also need to be able to put my energy out, you know, and here it gets, as I say, it's counterintuitive, but the more generous I can be, the more I can think, well, how can I give my energy, my time or whatever, out into my world to someone else who needs it or what have you. That's a very expansive opening process energetically. And paradoxically, that can begin to create a more spacious field in which manifestation can work than if I'm all scrunched up and constricted constricted in this little tight, fearful place, sending out my affirmations, but at the same time feeling, oh God, what's going to happen to me at the end of the month? So it is a challenging time because it's almost as if we're being asked to swim upstream, where the current is a fearful one. And the problem with a fearful current is that it magnifies the fears that we may have, and things can begin seeming ever so much worse than they really are. But it also diminishes our capacity to deal effectively with those things that we really do need to deal with and that are potential threats. And it certainly diminishes our capacity to do effective energy work.
Oh, I agree. Your book, Law of Manifestation, David Spangler, is very, very well written. And I would encourage those of you listening, if you'd like to add this to your library, it was written in 1973, and it continually bears new pages for reading. And it was just recently added to an additional 50 pages, but it is a classic. Go to his website, lorian.org, that's lorian.org, and you can find out about the manifestation cards. David, thank you for being my guest today. It's been an absolute delight.
Thank you, Donna. I have enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad. Take care, and I look forward to whatever you come up with the next time around.
Okay, me too.
David Spangler, the laws of manifestation. Again, website lorian.org, lorian.org. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. This is time of the show. You can call in and chat with me directly if you so desire. I'm happy to use my intuitive skills to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Call me directly at our toll-free worldwide number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you just want me to do a spontaneous reading for you, that's fine. If you have a question about a dream or a paranormal experience, then you're welcome to call up and ask me about it, and I'll be happy to answer whatever I can regarding your personal experiences. Again, 888-815-9756. 9756. I wanted to share with you, I don't know how you feel about ladybugs, but I've always loved them. They are just not only so adorable. In fact, we have a member of our family who has more ladybugs in her house than I've ever known anybody to have. She is a collector of them. And I came across this poem that I thought was so cute. And this is how it reads. A round red creature wearing black polka dots goes for a climb on my arm. But I don't mind at all, for this little bug doesn't scare me a bit. She's far too much a lady. A very nice visual description of a charming little bug, but they're ferocious eaters of aphids. And that has been a long, long time memory, not a memory, but a remedy for aphids in a garden. And I can remember a time when we had really been invaded with aphids, and ladybugs love them. They munch them for lunch, and they just go a mile a minute. And people can buy boxes of ladybugs, and it's literally tens of thousands of ladybugs in these boxes. And you just let them out, and they'll go after those little aphids. They're quite happy to get rid of them for you, and it's environmentally friendly. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 888-815-9755. Well, do you have a dog and you wonder, what's this dog made up of? They're commonly called mutts. Well, if you have a dog without a pedigree, you can find out today which breeds contributed to your pet's unique look and personality. When I was at the Renaissance Fair, it was amazing the different breeds of dogs that we would see, and you really could tell the mutts from the purebreds. And some of these mutts, you just wondered, how in the world did they get together to come to create this unique personage that was in front of you? Well, you can scroll through hundreds of breed descriptions at the American Kennel Club website to find the ones that look the most like your particular family member. And I've got a picture of an adorable dog that looks like he's a bloodhound mix along with something else. Great big paws on him, but he's just an adorable baby. Now, here's the website for the AKC. It's akc.org/breeds_a.cfm. Let me repeat that, akc.org/breeds_a.cfm. You can find out some information through there. Also, there is another site called whatsmydog.com, whatsmydog.com, and it's a computer-generated test, and it's free, doesn't cost you anything, and you can have an option of looking at various ear, head, and tail shapes, and then also, for $52, you can take a swab, collect a saliva sample from inside your dog's cheek, mail it to a lab for analysis, and you'll get your results, the latest state-of-the-art, in about 2 weeks. How you do that is go to petstreetmall.com/dog-dna-test/8348-3191-details. .html. I don't know that most of us are really that concerned, because if we have a mutt, we just love them, don't we? We don't really want to know necessarily everything and anything about them, but it might not be a bad idea. Different breeds have particular problems with interbreeding. They have found for the top dogs, often physical deficiencies have developed, like the German Shepherds with hip dysplasia. I recall just recently someone admiring this magnificent German Shepherd and asking the couple that owned the dog, is it European or American? And the couple responded, it's from Europe, it's from Germany. And he said, well, this dog has just got such beautiful structure to him, and they talked about the dog like it was, you know, a specimen for a museum. The reality is that there are the vulnerabilities with breeds that you will find. If you get a bulldog, they have problems with breathing. Sometimes they develop asthma. It's amazing the conditions that can happen. Some dogs have been bred over the years to have squashed noses, snouts that were once long, pushed in. Same thing with cats. So you can have different things that could create health problems for your animal. So maybe that is a good way to find out what your pet might be vulnerable to and to take what we call a preventative aspect. By the way, if you are wondering how to deal with stress, we were talking about the law of manifestation, something I learned a long time ago, and I have to chuckle because there's all kinds of studies going on all over the place. Canadians have done some studies. When people are really stressed and they are trying to resolve something and they work 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 at it and they're not able to resolve it and they just get so out of sorts. Well, if you have a problem and you're not able to come up with a resolution, shift. That's right. You shift your focus and your concentration to something else. And in this study, they said the gray matter in the brain that's responsible for complex problem solving is more active when you daydream than when you focus on your problem. So when you've done everything that you know that you possibly can do, and then you make a shift, and like a friend of mine used to, when she got herself into what one of my friends calls a huffle, then she would go and scrub her kitchen floor. Trust me, it wasn't a big floor. But she'd be out there scrubbing that floor, and she'd scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub until finally she neutralized her anxiousness. Now, some people might take a walk. Other people might sing. Some people might decide to go dancing. It varies with all of us. What's going to work for you? Some people might want to cook up a batch of chocolate chip cookies. Whatever works. But it's shifting your focus. And then it's amazing how many times you'll get the answer in your head and you go, why didn't I think of that before? What is it that locked my mind up so much that I couldn't have access to what I know is a very simple solution? Well, it's like anything else. If you let stress get to you, and it will get to all of us at one time or another, it can really muck up the thinking. Speaking of thinking, if you'd like me to help you out with anything, give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I wanted to share a story with you about a woman that had gone through a certain physiological condition. Acupuncture is a treatment, a technique that often helps. Of course, you really have to find someone that's knowledgeable. And when you do, then you may find it can help you. And this particular woman had migraines. She was only 30 years old. She had had migraines for years. And she said maximum strength painkillers, prescription painkillers, were not even touching this pain. Well, it was really, really serious. This woman was almost non-functional when these headaches were hit. They put her through MRIs, EEGs, CAT scans, but there were no tumors, there were no aneurysms, there weren't any serious problems. The doctor said, well, you've got migraines. I just don't know what to tell you. Now, they really don't understand why migraines do what they do. However, she said when it would hit her, it was like a strobe light was shining directly into her eyes. Her stomach would start doing flip-flops. She'd get nauseous. Then her head would start pounding. Her mother just was aware of this problem that she had had since she was quite young, and she said, there's got to be something that will help you out. Well, she got tired of the medication. She said, I get more and more medicine. It's not helping me. It is just terrible. Now, when she got pregnant with her son, she found that the pregnancy did not relieve the headaches. She was getting them just as badly. And the doctor said, oh, it has to do with the hormones of pregnancy. And he didn't pay attention to the fact that this had been going on with her for quite a while. Well, it was getting worse and worse and worse. In fact, it was all she could do just to get out of bed. Well, there was a physician she had met at one point in her search to try to find an answer to help her get relief from this excruciating pain. She was mentioning her history, and this doctor, who was a stranger, he was very much involved in alternative methods, and he asked her if she had ever tried acupuncture. And she said, I've never even heard of it. I don't know anything about it. And he said, well, acupuncture can relieve headaches, migraines, by helping to improve the body's flow of energy. Well, all she could get in her head was a bunch of needles being stuck into her, and she hated needles, so that wasn't acceptable. She decided, after this particular bout of pain, when this memory came back to her of talking with this doctor in alternative medicine, she would check out some acupuncturists and try to make an appointment. And she finally found an acupuncturist she wanted to work with. And when she was in the office and he started working with her, and she had a headache that was rocking the brain, he very quietly had her sit in a comfortable positioning, and then he said, I want you to keep your eyes closed. The room was very low and light because he knew she was having this headache. And he started giving her a treatment. Now, we have to take a break. When we come back, I'll finish what happened with this wonderful woman, Rebecca, and how she was able to resolve a health problem that had been with her a good portion of her life. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line waiting, but I do want to finish this story. And if you want to call in, 888-815-9756. Now, Rebecca had these horrible migraines. She's sitting in the acupuncturist's office. He is making sure she's comfortable before he starts the process of putting in the needles. He was with her for an hour. By the end of that hour, no headache. The headache had disappeared. She slept soundly. The next morning, no headache. She was absolutely amazing. She was so surprised she was able to take her son to the park, which she hadn't done for goodness knows how long because of these horrendous headaches that she would get. And then She was cooking. She was acting like a normal person. She wasn't in pain. Now, she went for additional acupuncture sessions, and 6 months afterwards, still not one single migraine. But now, if she gets one, she said she'll know how to take care of it. And this is what she said. She said, I'm so glad I gave acupuncture a chance. All of my life, if I wasn't in pain, I was waiting for it to hit me. Now, I'm free to just live my life, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. If one aspect isn't working, it's always good to look at alternatives. Let's take our first caller for the day. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. This is Pat in Hamden, Connecticut.
Hi, Pat. Sun shining there?
No, we're waiting for rain.
Oh, fiddle-dee-dee. Well, the rain is probably going to feel good once it comes.
Yes.
You'll enjoy it. Okay, Pat, first thing that I'm looking at is have patience. It's going to take a while for certain things to evolve, but one of the things I'm looking at, it has something to do with coupons. And I'm surprised, I would not have thought that you were that interested in coupons, but I'm looking at you receiving one or becoming aware of one, and you're saying, I really can use this, and you're a little frustrated because you can't find it. Well, I think it's right under your nose. I think it's right in and among some papers that you have literally just sort of pushed together, and it's going to take going through it sheet by sheet by sheet to get to where this is so that you can use it. But I'm really not too concerned with you about finances. I think things are going to be pretty stable. But if you are wanting to go and investigate some job opportunities, I would encourage you to do it. I'd get myself dressed up, look at what I'd like to do, what I'd like to be associated with, and just go out and knock on doors. And I think you're going to find that there are actually going to be two opportunities for you if you decide you'd like to explore them further. They'll let you know what's involved, and if you wanted to be in a whole different environment for making and generating an income, that's going to be possible for you. What is it that you would like to ask me today?
Thank you. If you have time, two quick questions. I need big repair on my car, and I have a choice of two mechanics. One is an old school chum who I've been working with. His quote is more expensive. I just found someone that's offering this job at almost half the price. I'm wondering if you could tell me if that's a reliable mechanic.
I think you need to get a third one. You need to get a third quote. I think the old school chum is, you're right, he's pricier. But you need to find out what kind of a guarantee he gives. Is he going to be working on this car all by himself? Does he have a team of people that's going to be working on the car? If he's charging $70 in labor per hour, which it sounds like that's probably what he's doing, it's pretty pricey. But you have to ask yourself, this big repair, let's say you're wanting to put a new engine in, you want to make sure, and I'm just using that as an example, you want to make sure that you go for the quality. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish here, because you might end up paying, you know, something extra. If you belong to AAA, I'd say check out the mechanics they recommend. And if you have to, get a second opinion. But do get a third opinion on this.
Okay. Could you help me with this other one named Hans? I felt good about him.
It's not a matter of feeling good. It's
no.
A matter, you're not a mechanic. So you need to know if someone is reputable. Call your Better Business Bureau in your community. Find out which repair facility is going to be the best. This is a big investment for you of money. You want to go with the quality. Don't just go because somebody's a very good buddy and you've known them for 30 years. You need to know about those people that really have the skill and expertise, but get a diagnostic from them. It's better to pay that little bit of extra money and have things checked to make sure that everybody's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And don't speculate on this.
Okay.
It's worth having the work done, but you want it with somebody that's going to be able to do the quality.
Okay. If I could ask you quick, will I get back my possessions and money owed me from my friend, my
Hon,
new friend?
I'm sorry I have to interrupt you. I am out of time.
All
I'm
right,
out of time,
you.
Pat. This is Donna Siebel-Pat. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to say goodbye. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about The Ancient Code. It's a movie that is a good see. We'll be back right here, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Donna Siebel here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.